Last week, you remember we spoke about John 1:1 when the Bible said the Word was God, and then John 14, the Word became flesh. Remember those two statements that we looked at? And then we also finished with the fact that the angel that came to Mary and said to Mary, you're going to have a child and call him Jesus, it's going to save his people. And then she said, be it unto me according to your word. And from that, what happened is the word that the angel spoke became a seed that went into her heart, which she believed it, and then it dropped into her womb, and that seed became flesh, and that's what the Bible said happened. The word became flesh, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So, first scripture we want to look at is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. You have been born again, not from a seed that can be destroyed, but through God's everlasting word that cannot be destroyed. Say this, God's word cannot be destroyed. Do you notice that the very first thing that Peter says here by the Holy Spirit is that the word of God is seed. Clearly, the word of God is seed. Remember that, because that's what we're going to be talking about throughout the service today. Also, the scripture says here it is everlasting. Not only can't be destroyed, it is everlasting. But the point that I really want to make about this is the fact that he said you've been born again by a seed, the word of God. Now, if we have to think about what particular portion of God's scripture got us born again, probably Romans 10, 9, if you believe, right? If you will believe or you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he was raised from the dead, you shall be what?
Saved.
So that scripture says you have to believe and you have to confess with your mouth. What happens when you do, you believe that portion of scripture, goes into your heart, and then you confess with your mouth. And what happens is the power locked in that scripture causes you to be born again. This means you can't be born again until you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth. That requires repentance. I'm repenting of my sin. I'm repenting of my unbelief. And I'm saying with my mouth, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you say that with faith, the power in those words recreates your human spirit. And you're born again. And that is the truth that we want to examine today. Remember, Jesus told us right in the beginning, we spoke about move, mountain, move. Remember, he said you speak to the tree. He said you have to believe God. And then you have to say what you believe, and you have to believe what you say. Okay? You have to say what you believe, and then you have to believe what you say, and then you will have what you believe and have said. As Pastor Cindy said, everything in life begins with a seed. Everything, every tree, every plant, every flower, everything you ever see, grass, it didn't matter, all started with a seed. All human beings, all natural birds, fish, animals, all begin with a seed. All begin with a seed. All creation begins with a seed. Now, when God created the seeds for whatever purpose they serve, when he created the seed, he placed within the seed, in that seed, a unique ability to reproduce without any effort, provided it was sown into the correct environment. You can take a seed and you can leave it on your kitchen counter. You can leave it in the garage. You know what I mean? You can leave it for years and nothing will happen. It'll just remain. Take that seed out, go in the yard, make a little hole, some soft soil, put it in, water it, keep watering it, right amount. And guess what? That seed that's 4 or 5 years old will germinate in the right environment and it will produce the very thing that's inside it. That's how God made it. All right, and so it's very important, and you'll hear this today, it's very, very important that we have the correct environment in our heart to germinate God's seed. Because just as natural seeds have this unique ability, so the Word of God is also a seed. Jesus likened it to a seed, and we'll see many scriptures that he likened to a seed, which means that the very creative power of God is in that seed. And if we release it in the right environment, it will produce the promise it was supposed to produce. But it has to be sown into the right environment, which is going to end up being your heart. Now, in the natural realm, if you want a certain harvest, you have to decide on what seed to produce the harvest. You don't just go to the store and say, give me seed. If you're a farmer, just give me a whole bunch of seed. I'll take that. And you go and you sow and you just throw it in your yard. You throw it out in the farm and you go, whoa, look what came up. Okay, that's not the way you farm, is it? So we're all farmers. You need to understand we're all farmers. We're spiritual farmers. So what we've got to do is we've got to decide on the harvest we want and then choose the appropriate seed. Okay? If you want to grow marijuana, I promise you planting cord seed will not do it. Okay? Just not from personal experience. I'm just telling you from... I'm telling you from word knowledge. Natural knowledge. Okay? That's the way it works. And if you're standing in front of the judge and you're telling the judge that you planted corn and you don't know what happened, and maybe it was just bad seed. No. No, he knows that you're lying to him right there, right? You got marijuana growing in your backyard, you planted it, sweetheart. Okay, so it produces after its kind. So in the kingdom of God then, if we want to harvest a certain harvest, we have to find a promise in God's word, which is a spiritual seed, and then we have to put that seed in our heart, which is our spirit man, and then we'll get the desired harvest. And then what I could say as simply as this, your Bible is a bag of seed. Your Bible is a bag of seed. And if you want something, go into the bag and pull out the seed that you want and sow it. So if you needed healing, for example, you wanted to harvest healing, what would be a seed that you could use? There you go. By his stripes, I am healed. 1 Peter 2:24. You could go and take that scripture, believe it, put it in your heart, and bring it forth. And guess what? The power to heal is in that seed. And it will produce healing for you in your body. The seed will take on flesh, the very flesh you need for your healing. What if you were in financial difficulties and you needed help financially? You go find a seed. Give me a seed. Give me a financial seed. All right, there's a lot of good ones going out there. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a good seed, all right? Given shall be given unto me, and I've given, therefore it's going to give it to me. Those are seeds. You find those seeds, and you put them in your heart. You believe them, say it with your mouth, and it comes to pass. So the very thing that you require comes from the promise. So you have to find the promise, find the seed, and then plant that seed. It will produce. All kingdom principles operate exactly like the germination of a seed that is planted. Jesus told us that every single kingdom principle. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is. Everybody say the kingdom of God is.
The kingdom of God is.
So we know he's talking about the kingdom. And he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed. Scatter what? Scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day. Now, remember last week I said to you, I'm going to show you this week how that your faith can grow even while you're sleeping. And I told you, don't sleep in church. That's not how it's going to grow. Here, Jesus clearly told us here that when the man sows the seed, he then goes to sleep. It's an indication of resting. The seed is doing the work, not you. You're putting the word of God to work on your behalf, and then you're resting in your hammock as the word goes to work. Okay? You got to see that. And that's the reason you could rest. He says, and he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. See, we don't have to know every single thing. We're not astrophysicists. We're not engineers. We don't have to know everything about God. If you did, you'd be God. So we don't have to know how every single thing works. All right? I'm still not sure how the remote works, but I use it. Hello? I'm not sure how this Wi-Fi works and all this kind of stuff that goes on. I'm going to ask people all the time, how does this thing work? How does this thing work? It's like I've got old suddenly. Like, oh, what happened? Everything I can't see anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. We used to have CDs and stuff. We put them in. This is your movie. Now you click a button. There's your movie. Okay. Anyway, we don't have to understand everything about God, but what we what he has given us to understand, we must implement. And so we're looking at now some of the things that God does, and he's giving us understanding of how this works, how this thing works. All right, while we're sleeping, it works. Now we're going to look at the most important parable in the Bible. Now, I know that you didn't realize that some parables were more important than others, but Jesus said this one was the most important. And the reason he said it was the most important is because the revelation that you get out of this parable unlocks all the other parables. And if you don't get the revelation that he's going to share with this parable, then the others remain blind to you. You don't actually get the insight that he wants you to reveal. So, in this parable that we're going to look at, Jesus likens the word of God to seed, and he likens our heart to soil. And that's what he's going to reveal. And he's going to show us literally six different types of soil. Most people read it and only think there's four types of soil, but there's actually six types of soil. And let me ask you this. If you study numerology, what is the number of man? Six. Six is the number of man. He was made on the sixth day, so it's the number of man. So there's six types of soil, and that's interesting. So it just kind of matches, you know, six types of soil, number of men. Interesting. Now, the thing is this. The seed, the quality of the seed never varies. In this parable, it's the quality of the soil that varies. Every time it's the quality or the condition of the heart or the soil that is different. But the same seed is sown into every heart. All right, so let's begin reading it in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Clearly, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand the rest." Verse 14, "The sower sows the word." Everybody say, "The sower sows the word." What is the sower sowing? The word. So it is a seed that's being sown. Just like this morning, as I'm talking to you, the Holy Spirit is using these words that I'm speaking to you as seed. They're being sown into your heart and into your soil. So I'm a sower this morning, and I'm sowing the word of God. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately. Say immediately. Immediately. He doesn't wait for you to leave church and get in the car and start the fight on the way home to steal it. He steals it while you're right here, right here. He takes away the word that was sown in their hearts, takes the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, this wayside soil, I call that the hard heart. It's like a pathway that people have walked and trodden down, and nothing is growing in it because it's solid and hard, and the seed gets thrown onto that, and it doesn't grow. It can't grow. It can't get into the soil. So it kind of bounces off. It is sometimes rejected, and it doesn't penetrate. Even though it hits the heart, it doesn't penetrate. Because the person hearing it rejects it. Even though it hits their heart, they go, yeah, not so much. Yeah, I don't think so. And Satan then is able to steal it. But on another hand, it can be stolen because of what's going on in your life. If you had a rip-roaring argument on the way to church, you may not be in a good condition, you know, mentally and emotionally, to hear what's being said. You know, during the praise and worship, you might be standing just like this, you know, not participating, you know, because you're angry. And let me just say this to you. Jackie can only get one hand up, and you've noticed she always get the one hand up. So anytime you're not using your hands, she'd love to use the hand that you're not raising. Just saying. So you may not be in a good emotional thing. You may be struggling with different stuff at home or at work or whatever it is, okay? And that is hindering you from hearing the word or causes you to reject it because you're angry at somebody or you've got resentment, and so you reject it and the word can't penetrate. And guess what? If you're being distracted like that, it's actually Satan distracting you so that the word can't get into you and bring about the change that God wants in your life. All right? Hard ground. Verse 16, "Then these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time, and afterwards when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." They stumble. This is shallow ground. This is the shallow heart. Because what happens is this. It's like a little pocket of soil, and then the seed lands in it, and it gets, yeah, this is, I'm happy, 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 little camper. It begins to grow, but the root can't go down, can't get a root. So now when the sun comes up, it scorches this little plant because there's no moisture. It can't, so it suffers. And the Bible says, this is what happens to a Christian. They get saved, and they get so excited about the things of God. Woohoo! It says they immediately receive it with gladness. But then persecution comes for the word's sake. So they may be at work, and then they get criticized for being a Christian. Or you may be at work, and people around you find out that you're Christian. They put pressure on you. And then you shrink away from being a Christian that is outgoing and sharing. You shrink away, and the persecution comes. And what's going on is that the root is not penetrating deep enough, and it's going to scorch you to death if you allow that to happen. All right, you've got to have a deep enough place for the root to go. I know, I'm a gardener. I dug about 47 holes when we moved in here to Escondido, and it was just barren land, and it was so hard. I think when they did the leveling of the land, all the rocks and everything, stuff like this, I had to get jackhammers in. I had to get jackhammers in to plant my plants. I'm not kidding with you. They wore out. They wore out the jackhammers to try and get them in and to get the rocks out and stuff. And you know what happened? I found out later that your plant grows as big as the hole you make. So I have pygmy plants. I have little miniature plants. And then I have really nice ones. And I have huge plants. Same tree plants at the same time. Same amount of water. Same amount of sunshine. Just different sizes. Because the hole was different. The soil was stony, and they couldn't get the roots. I thought these trees were like, you'll just bust through that, man. You just go, you'll find a way through. No, they didn't. Didn't find a way through. All right? So remember that. It's very important, because we're gonna have to clear out those problems that we have in our heart. So that is the shallow heart. Now, unfortunately, what happens, this believer stumbles. Even though they were so excited in the beginning. Then verse 19 says, backing up to verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a little time, and afterwards, because of tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. People, this is something we really have to be careful of. This is what I call the crowded heart. This is the crowded heart. And the crowded heart causes the word of God to be non-productive. You see, the crowded heart has got things in it like cares, a deceitfulness of stuff that's going on inside there. It could have unforgiveness. It could have offenses in, be worried, fears, and so on, resentment, and so on and so forth. So we've got to get those things out. We can't permit them to stay. You get born again, and your heart becomes fertile soil. It's ready to go, but you haven't rooted up the root of bitterness, the anger, the unforgiveness, all of those things, the cares of this world. They are still in there. And now what happens is the seed of the word of God goes in there, it begins to grow, and all of those things about them, they grow up at the same time, and they choke the word. Notice it says it chokes the word. It chokes the word, which means that the life and the spirit that is in the word is choked and becomes unproductive. Can you imagine that? I used to think there was nothing could stop the word. I thought you just preach the word and people get it. But the scripture clearly says that we have to take out those things that are hindering the word or choking the word. Very, very important. Take it out. Now listen, you know, I love the rain, but you know what? I know what's coming in my yard. I know what's coming in my yard. Everybody say weeds. Weeds. I bind that in Jesus' name. Okay. All right. So, but here's the thing. I mean, these weeds come out. They come out even if you don't water them. I mean, I've got weeds growing in my concrete driveway. What is wrong with that? I walk around the yard and I spray the yard and I dig stuff up, and then a couple of weeks later, here they come again. They're relentless. They will not quit. And what does that mean to us? It means even though we cleaned out our heart of resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, and all these kind of things that are hassling us and choking the word, guess what? They come right back. They come right back. Because you know what? This is the problem. People will always make you angry. People are always going to say things that are going to hurt you. Stuff is going to happen, and then you're going to get offended, and you've got to stop it when it happens. You go, whoa, I'm not going to allow that into my garden. I'm not going to allow that to get in. I've got to stop that. Because you know, if it gets in, it begins to grow, and you don't take care of it, it will choke out the word of God in your life. So in the crowded heart, what happens is the things of the world that's hassling us, they are the priority. The word of God is not the priority. Now the last verse says, and these are the ones sown on stony ground. On good ground. This is fertile heart. Those are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. This is the Christian that is good ground. Say, I'm good ground.
I'm good ground.
Now, you see, not everybody is a hundredfold producer. In fact, if you think about it, I prayed about this one time. I went fasted and prayed in the bush for a whole week. And what I saw from this is around about 1/6 of the people who hear the word. You divide 100 by 6 for me, somebody. Give me a number real quick. Divide 100 by 6. 15, 16, something like that, right? Okay. And that's without a calculator. About 16 people out of 100. Huh? That's close enough. I had that. I knew that. About 16 people out of 100 who hear the word will become 100% producers, 100-fold producers. The good news is 3 out of 6, 50%, become believers. But even amongst the believers, you have this group, only about 16%, 16%, 16%. So you get 30%, 60%, and 100% producers. So we must be careful as pastors not to expect 100% from everybody, because it's not going to happen. You frustrate yourself. Anyway, that's a word for me, not for you. All right. Thank you for listening while I'm talking to myself. Keep working on your garden. Keep cleaning it out. Keep cleaning that out. Don't let that stuff build out. All right. So the seed, if we understand it now, the seed, any seed, has an innate creative ability inside the seed. And if we will take that seed and put it in our heart, which is the garden, the spirit, becomes the womb for that seed to germinate and produce the promise the seed said it would. Let me say that slower. The seed has the innate ability to produce the promise. It's been put in there. God designed it that way. If we would take that seed and put it in our heart becomes the womb for it to germinate. And it will produce the life force that's in that seed. The promise that that seed is supposed to produce, it would produce. But you see, our womb has to be filled with faith, and we've got to get the stuff out that's causing the problems in our life. Now, how is the seed sown? That's the big question. How's the seed sown? It's very easy. We've been talking about it for 6 weeks. Through our words. What we say. The seeds, they come out of our mouth. Now, if that is true, which it is, then I'm going to give you a secret here, and then I'm going to show that God, Jesus, actually taught this to us. That what seeds are in your heart, and what's growing in your heart, will determine what you will have in this life. Nothing else determines it, only what's in your heart. You ready? All right, let's have a look. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Jesus teaches. He says, brood of vipers. Okay, that's snakes. Brood of snakes. Well, that's a great opener. How to win friends and influence people. Okay. But, you know, because he was being so loving and compassionate, Jesus was never harsh with anybody. Right? He was always inclusive. He was always loving and politically correct and always inclusive. Brood of snakes, let's talk. Hello, he just lost his congregation right there. Seemingly didn't care. How can you, being evil, second time the remaining people have just left the door now. You being evil, how could you speak good things? Why not? Because he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let me address something here. Whatever your heart is full of is going to come out of your mouth. When I meet with somebody and we start talking, it doesn't matter if it's a first time or it's a counseling session or whatever. What I'm listening for is what's coming out of their mouth because it's telling me what's in their heart. They can tell me anything they want to. They could talk about anything they want to, but I'm listening because I know the secret. The secret to find out what's a person's heart is what's coming out of their mouth because what they're full of in their heart has to overflow out of their mouth. So be careful if you have a rip-roaring argument at home with your spouse and you start saying ugly stuff and you just fly off and everything else and you go, I'm so sorry, honey. I really didn't mean that. I didn't think before I said. You didn't have to think before you said because what was overflowing in your heart came out. So we just stopped many arguments, didn't we? Or we made them sweet. Remember this, make the words that you say sweet because you're going to have to eat them. And then think before you speak. Control what comes out of your mouth. It's very, very important. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, verse 35 is critical. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. The word treasure in the Greek is the word deposit. What's been deposited in this heart, this man's heart, made him a good man. Brings forth what things? Good things. The good deposit brings forth good things. Then he says, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So, one man's having good things in his life, another man's having bad things in his life. Is it God causing it? Not according to Jesus. Jesus is saying that what was in the person's heart, he says, by faith, it's overflowing out of his heart, and he's having what he is saying. His heart is literally producing his future, both good or bad. And I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Amen. The abundance of the heart has to overflow in our speech. And you know what? The more you say it, the more you believe it. And if you believe what you're saying, you're going to have it. You're going to have it. Therefore, whatever's in my heart is actually producing my future, especially if I'm believing it. Amen. Jesus taught us that our spirit man is our garden. It's the soil. It's the garden of the Holy Spirit. He's at work in here. And Jesus said that the Word of God must be sown into our garden. That's what he said. So my garden then is the source of my success. My spirit man is the source of my success, or it is the source of my failure, or the reason for my failure. Say the future. Say my future is in my heart. So if you want to change what you're currently going through, you have to change what's in your heart. You have to put a new deposit in. You have to start believing the new deposit. If the word is not in my heart, it won't germinate. And if the word is in my heart, but there's no faith, then the seed will die unborn. Because you remember to talk about the right environment? Faith is what releases the seed. It generates the seed. It causes it to germinate. So we have to have faith. What is the principle Jesus is trying to teach us here? Literally, it's in my heart. What's in my heart is controlling my life and my future. I have a question that we all have to answer. What is the deposit that's in my heart? What does my heart look like? What have I allowed to get into my heart? What have I spoken out that went into my heart? It's a challenge. We're going to have to deal with it. No wonder Solomon said this. Solomon said in Proverbs 4 and 23, guard your heart more than anything else because the source of your life flows from it. Whoa. Solomon had some deep insight there. Guard your heart more than anything else. Put it as a priority to protect your heart, because it is the source of your life. It's flowing out of your heart. Like an oasis in the desert, we all know what that looks like. Around the oasis, the water, you've got great vegetation, you've got palm trees, animals come along and they eat from the vegetations, humans drink from the water, animals drink from the water. So that oasis, that water is life in the desert. Just so your heart is the oasis for your life. And here's the problem. Some of us throw stuff into the water and we pollute our own well. And then we've got to drink it. And we wonder why our life is a mess. And we didn't know that we were spitting in our own water. Luke 17, verse 6. If you'll have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, some translations said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you would say to the mulberry tree. But this scripture says, you will say to the mulberry tree, and it will obey you. So faith, once again, got to come out of your mouth by the words that are coming from your heart that you have planted in your heart. So here's the thing. If you speak about your problem, it grows. If you speak to your problem, it goes. Don't talk to God about the size of your problem. Talk to your problem about the size of your God. It's all about what you're believing in your heart and what you're saying with your mouth. And it's about the seeds that you've put into your heart. It can change, and it will change what you're having in this life and what you will have tomorrow. It's up to you. If I could summarize the sermon, I'd say this. If I plant the Word of God as a seed into my heart, my spirit man, by the words of my mouth, if I plant it in there and I believe the Word, I believe what's been planted, then I speak the Word that's been planted, by His stripes I'm healed, or His supply is mine, whatever it is that I'm speaking out. If I speak that out, I will create a new reality. One that changes the facts so that they line up with the truth. See, it may be a fact right now that you're sick in your body. It may be a fact that you have financial difficulties and problems. But that does not have to be your reality. You don't have to settle on that as your reality forever. You can change your reality by changing what's in your heart. And if you'll get rid of the stuff that's choking the word, if you'll pull it out, recognize it, and deal with it in Jesus' name, pray a crop failure over those, forgive the people that you're angry with and this unforgiveness, forgive them, let it go, and then put new seed from the Word of God in and believe that seed and water it in the Spirit. Pray over it in the Spirit. Water that seed, believe God, and then speak it by faith. I'm telling you now, what's in your heart will produce the future that you desire and the future that God wants for you to have. Amen? All right.